ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपत्नीतयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। वी आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् भजगोविन्दम् स्तोत्रम्। इट् कण्टेन्स् 31 श्लोकास्। इन् अवर् लास्ट् क्लास् वी हव् टेकन् अप् दि वेरि फस्ट् वर्स्। भजगोविन्दम् भजगोविन्दम् गोविन्दम् भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुक्रुं करणे। वाट् इस् दि मीनिङ्ग्? ओ फूलिश् पर्सन् मूढमते भज गोविन्दम् भज गोविन्दम्। वर्षिप् लार्ड् गोविन्द, वर्षिप् लार्ड् गोविन्द, वर्षिप् गोविन्द एलोन्। वै? Samprapte sannihite kale. When the time comes for you to give up this body, or when the time comes for the body to give you up, it will not stay even for 1 millisecond. Nahi nahi rakshati dukrum karane. It will not help you any type of worldly knowledge, especially Sanskrit grammar is not going to help you at all. That is the knowledge which will help you to face death. Every other type of knowledge is a completely useless type of knowledge. So this Bhaja Govindam Stotram, even though it is a stotram, but it is not only a mere hymn, but it is one of the what is called a preliminary text. A text which expounds the highest philosophy of life, like Viveka Chudamani, Atma Bodha, etc. That is why it is called almost a Prakarana Grandha. And every Prakarana Grandha must have a subject. What are the subjects here? First of all, what is the nature of our own self? Secondly, do you understand what life is? There are so many ironies of life. Then vanities of life, the transient nature of life's pleasures and pursuits. So, have you understood the essence of knowledge? What is that knowledge? Every knowledge that gives us three important facts, tattva, purushartha and hita. What is the truth? What is the goal of life? And what is the means to attain to that nature? That alone is a true knowledge. Now, is that the Acharya Shankara going to condemn every other type of knowledge? Did Sri Ramakrishna condemn any type of knowledge? He said, no. First acquire this knowledge. Every type of knowledge is like a zero. But this spiritual knowledge is like one. Without one, everything is zero. But if there is one in the front, then everything, it only becomes more and more valuable. So that is what we have to understand. And this particular Bhaja Govindam is one of the most singable, rhythmatically singable, beautiful song. Literally hundreds of people have rendered it in their most melodious voices. But as I said earlier, but nothing to be compared to what we call M.S. Subbalakshmi's rendering of this, not only because of her melodious voice, but her pure life. She is one of the most purest musicians who was never after money. never after name and fame, but such a devoted lady. And God also has blessed. See how many crores of rupees she had donated. She helped people raise for their own philanthropical activities. But I heard that in the end, this lady had to face a lot of problems because of some domestic problems. But Swami Ranganathanji Maharaj, she had great regard for him, and he used to look upon her as his own daughter, and this Swami had helped her towards the very end. Such a lady, who could have, if she were only selfish, could have earned literally millions of rupees. But she had donated everything. That is the greatness of this lady. That's why when such hymns and the devotional songs she renders, she becomes absorbed because she is of the nature of devotion. This is just by a side subject. Now we will come. There are hundreds of hymns, many of them composed by Shankaracharya. All of them are melodious, but this is one of the most melodious, singable, very rhythmic, but it is not merely a singable, enjoyable song. It is a hymn full of wisdom and what is a man, what should he do, and how he is spending his life. Wake up, wake up. This is what Swami Vivekananda proclaimed at the Parliament of Religions. You are a children of immortal bliss. So do not behave like the child of an ordinary human being, or do not behave like an animal. Behave and you reclaim your forgotten inheritance. That is what there. So this is one of the most wonderful, let us analyze it. So though it may sound simple, Acharya has condensed in this song every practical aspect of Vedanta philosophy. And not only that, he has harmonized the highest knowledge. There is Viveka, there is Vairagya, there is knowledge, there is devotion, and there is karma. There is a lifestyle which will only make a person very happy and very practical Vedanta. Everything is so beautifully condensed here. Let us remember, this hymn is also, though Bhajagovindam is some of the shlokas, the entire thing is called Moha Mudgara, a hammer to break into pieces, to turn into dust, that unbreakable maya called Moha. And Moha brings Vishada. That is why very first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Now let us analyze even. I hope we remember the background. There was an old man and he wants to become a pandit. He was unable to even utter the alphabet properly, and it is at this time Shankaracharya came along and he understood, and then he gave that teaching. But he was merely making this would-be pandit, aspiring pandit, a mere instrument addressing all of us, whether we are young, we are old, learned, non-learned. It doesn't matter what we are. But have you ever got that wisdom to understand what life is, what is the goal of life, what is the truth of life, and are you striving to realize that truth? If not, every other piece of knowledge is completely useless knowledge. So this is what he is telling. Nahi nahi rakshati dukrum karne. Let us go back a little bit and say that bhaja govindam, govindam bhaja mudhamati. Shankaracharya is addressing all persons who are neglecting the most important aspects of life and devoting to what is called the deluding aspects of life. He is addressing mudhamati, a foolish one, is a person who is having no discrimination and no dispassion and no wisdom. So such a person is likely to experience more suffering, more unhappiness. This is the simple. Whenever somebody addresses us, "You are a fool," we are likely to get very angry. We should be very glad that person is reminding us. But who can take it in the right light? Only a wise person. So this is addressed only to a wise person. Supposing there is a fool and Shankaracharya, or a thousand Shankaracharyas, or a million Sri Ramakrishnas and Vivekanandas address a foolish one. Do you think he will understand? No. Here is a person. He is very intelligent and he can understand. Only addressing such a person will really yield the result. Oh man, oh foolish one, that means you are a wise person. You could be become wise. Wisdom is your real nature, but you are behaving like an ordinary person. Moodhamate, that is to say, for the time being, you are overcome with delusion, like Arjuna. How do we know? Because Bhagavan himself says in the 16th chapter, "I know you are born of all the, what is called, divine qualities. And therefore, you are going to become liberated. But temporarily, you are overcome with this vishada." Vishada means deep suffering. And what is the root cause? Moha. What is moha? That which is real is considered as unreal, and that which is unreal is considered as real. This is called indiscrimination, aviveka, and we are all subject to that. But each one of us is none other than divine soul. Each soul is potentially divine. So here, Shankaracharya is addressing, "O foolish one, give up," is reminding. At this moment, they are behaving like a foolish person. Give up this foolishness. What is foolishness? That type of knowledge which will not help you overcome death. Here, death means we have to understand in its proper sense. Really speaking, is there any knowledge in this world which can remove death? Is there anybody who can keep his body immortal for any length of time? Nobody has found any way. So is Shankaracharya going to teach us a new way where we can save our body? No, that's not what it means. Even saints, realized souls, foolish people, pundits, everybody's body has to go the way it has come. And then when it goes, how did it come? Empty-handed. How will it go? Empty-handed. We forget it. So, oh, many of us, we are immersed in acquiring, and there is no acquisition of knowledge, only acquisition of more and more delusion in the form of many objects. This is what Eric Fromm calls the having mode of life, not the being mode of life. So he is addressing, "Worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship God, worship God, worship God alone." In my last class, I have ended it saying, this word Govinda has many meanings. One of the most important meanings given is go, means one popular meaning is cow. The Sanskrit word gau is literally has become the English word cow. Vinda means he who saves, he who tends. He is called Govinda. But here, go means indriya. Indriya means sense organ. Sense organs, he who is the master of the sense organs, he who is the root strength of the sense organs, he who alone can control sense organs, is Govinda. That means what? If any person can control his sense organs, he has controlled his mind, chitta vritti. And if anybody can control his mind, he is a realized soul. And a realized soul is none other than Brahman. When the Guru teaches him Tattvamasi, immediately he understands and he obtains that knowledge. Thou art that, and immediately, I am Brahman, aham Brahmasmi. That can come, that is true knowledge. That is what yoga means, chitta vritti nirodaha. Yoga means perfect knowledge. What is the knowledge? That I am Purusha, I am pure consciousness, and it happens only when the mind is perfectly controlled and directed towards this one and only one goal, which is called God realization. So that is why Bhaja Govinda means, here is a person, he is the Divine Lord, and your body belongs to him, your mind belongs to him, your sense organs belong to him, your life and death belong to him, nothing is in our control, and this is the knowledge. Sri Ramakrishna's guru, Totapuri, had learned sitting at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna for 11 months, everything belongs to the Divine Mother. Tanu, mana, dhana, everything belongs to the Divine Mother only. Nothing belongs to any one of us. Ultimately, that is the knowledge all of us inevitably have to obtain. That's why Bhagavad Gita. Just let us see how beautifully connected this verse is to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan Krishna asks one question of Arjuna. Have you heard my teaching with one-pointed mind and devotion, with Shraddha? And if you had done so, the result is inevitable. What is the result? So, your moha, so, kaschitte moha vinastaste kaschit ajnana sammoha, that ignorance born of moha, or moha, the result of ajnana. Is it completely destroyed? That means I have got the knowledge. What is the knowledge? Knowledge means memory. What is the memory? I am a man, I am a woman, as I am young, I am old. This is called ignorance. What is knowledge? Aham Brahmasmi. That is the true knowledge. And that memory. Aham Brahmasmi. That is the memory. And that memory is a permanent memory. Every other memory is a temporary memory. You see, sometimes people work in the offices. When they go, they get angry. They forget that they are not bosses, only very temporary period. When they come home, they assume different personality roles. Husband, wife, children, officer, club member, and etc., etc. But that is not the real nature. When, before we are born, are we all this? And when the body falls off, then what would be our identity? The true, the only identity is, I am, nothing else. And that is called Brahman. And to remember that, Smriti. So, this was the question asked by Krishna. The categorical reply of Arjuna is, Nashto Mohaha. My delusion is gone. That means, I have got knowledge. Then he says, Smritir Labdha. I obtained the memory. What memory? Shankaracharya comes to our help. Oh, I am Arjuna. I am the commander-in-chief of the Pandavas. I have come here to fight these fellows, and I am going to do my job as you have advised me with karma yoga attitude. That is not the memory. What memory? I am Atman. Bhishma is Atman. Drona is Atman. Duryodhana is Atman. Karna, Dushasana, Shakuni. Everyone is Atman. Because when a person says, I am Atman, it really translates into, I am everything. If I am everything, then what is, who is not included in it? What is not included in it? So that is the memory. But then we forget. How did you, sir, how did you obtain this memory, which was covered? Covered means what? That real memory was covered up by another memory. I am a Arjuna. Okay, at least did you keep that memory? No, as soon as you saw Bhishma and Drona, you forgot. You said, I don't want to fight. That means you have forgotten, you are a commander-in-chief, and you yourself have advocated, incited your eldest brother to this war, and that memory is also gone. Oh, I want to live like a sannyasi. And do you think that he will be really able to? And very funny stories are there. So one year he had, for some another reason, he had to live like a wandering monk. And he married not one, but two wives on the way. Three wives he married. A fellow who claims, I want to become a monk, he marries thrice. And the third wife, that is Krishna's sister, Subhadra, he had to marry by putting on the dress of a monk. On the, of course, wise advice of Sri Krishna only. It is a wonderful story. I will not go into it. So Arjuna's style of living sannyasi helped him to become, to liberate himself or to become even strongly falling into the net of Mahamaya. So this fellow, he comes and says, but he realized. What does he say? Tvat prasadat maya achyuta. I could not have removed my moha. I could not have regained my memory because this maya is your maya. Daivi hesha gunamayi. Mama maya duratyaya. This maya is mine. Mame vaye prapadyante. If only those who take refuge in me, only they will get out of the maya, not anybody else. This is what Shankaracharya wants to say. Bhaja Govinda. Worship Govinda. Worship Krishna. Govinda means who? The Divine Lord who is sitting Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tethati. Not Sri Krishna, the Avatara. Not Sri Rama. Not Narayana. But that Ishvara from whom we have come and because of whom we live and unto whom we return. That material and intelligent cause, the real cause of the entire universe, of which we are only an infinitesimal part, that is called Govinda. By His grace alone, you will be endowed with buddhi, endowed with discrimination, and the strength to renounce what should be renounced and to obtain what should be obtained. If we can analyze the life of Sri Ramakrishna's guru, Totapuri, in this light, he never realized it was the grace of the Divine Mother which made him desire a monk's life, which made him come nearer a Sadguru, which made him obtain the true teaching and training, which removed all the obstacles. What are the obstacles? Trividham narakasyedam, dvaram nashanam atmanaha, kamastada krodha, and lobha. Tasmat etatrayam tyajet. Kama, krodha, lobha. These are the three doorways to hell. Hell means literally the samsara. Very interesting word. Hell means what is called, there is a place, there are certain seven places called hell, and according to one's sinful result, a man goes into that hell and suffers for some time and comes back. That is not real hell. A person is there, he is extremely fortunate, what people call fortunate. He is very happy, he has everything that anybody can desire. And that is the greatest hell, because it is this which will be the greatest obstacle for this man. When he wants to turn towards God, happiness will make us forget entire maya, entire God, everything. Many times I gave the definition, maya means that which makes us forget time and space and causation. That's why time passes so quickly. Hell means intense suffering, and every billy second of the suffering reminds us of the passage of time. Still, time passes very slow. So, the greatest blessing is, let me suffer more. So, what am I talking about? What are we talking about? The happiness in this world is the greatest obstacle, because it will reinforce the desires and wants us to obtain the same thing again and again and again, and which will bring us into the birth, the circle of samsara, the circle of transmigration, again and again and again. That's why Holy Mother says, suffering is a gift of God. So, O man, and he is only taking the advantage of this, Pandit, O foolish one, give up your foolishness. And suppose I give up my foolishness, what am I supposed to do? Immediately understand, there is only one savior in life, and that is God, and you have to worship him, whether you are a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a believer, a non-believer, it doesn't matter. The only way you can be happy and you can escape any suffering is by worshipping the Divine Lord. Here the Divine Lord is not only a person, but he is a principle, he is an ideal. That is what we have to understand it. So, now we will come back a little bit about what we are talking here. So, nahi nahi raksh, when the time comes for you, when death approaches you, because there is no knowledge so far, and there will be no knowledge in the future, which can save us from the death of the body. Body is that which is, that which comes into manifestation, will have to go back to non-manifestation. Avyakta adhini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananeva tatraka paridevana. So this birth is inevitably leading to death. Every millisecond is bringing us to death. Have you found out a way how to overcome the death? And people are hoping against hope, I will live for a long time. And I get so much of fun out of this idea, because even 1 minute of your life, if you are not getting entertained, you suffer so much from worries and from wrong thinking, from imaginations. And if you live for 200 years, is it hell or is it heaven? Because your worries, you have not found a way to get out of the worries, etc. So, that knowledge which will help you not to live in this world for a long time, that is the meaning we have to understand. Duk nahi nahi rakshati dukrun karane means any type of worldly knowledge. Dukrun karane means the alphabet. Alphabet of any language. That is the root of all knowledge. And so, even if you get the highest scientific knowledge, or aesthetic knowledge, or moral knowledge, or even spiritual knowledge, it is not going to save you. It is only the grace of the Lord. And to obtain the grace of the Lord, one has to worship with sincere faith and surrender oneself to Him. And that is true devotion, bhakti, that is the true knowledge. So, dukrun karane means, what will you do? So, I want to become a Sanskrit PhD, double PhD, triple PhD. Okay, after that, what will you get? I'll get lot of money. After that, what will you do? I will get best job. What does it give you? More money. And what does it give you? Happiness. Have you found out the relationship between happiness and obtainment of any number of possessions? Here, wealth means, we have to understand, not merely money, but any possession. That is why the wisest social psychologist Eric Fromm says, people who adopt the being mode of life, they are happiest, not those who adopt the having mode of life. In fact, having mode of life is the root cause of all problems, not only problem for oneself, but the problem for everybody else. So, any type of knowledge that doesn't inspire us to think about God, to worship God, that is useless type of knowledge. And what is that spiritual knowledge? That which helped me to overcome death itself. How can death be overcome? Only by avoiding birth. How can I go beyond birth and death? Only by knowing, really speaking, that I am in my true nature, beyond body and mind complex. Therefore, there is no birth, there is no death for me. That is the truest knowledge. This is the meaning of dukrin karane. Dukrin karane means any type of worldly knowledge. And that's why Sri Ramakrishna said, what am I going to do? when his eldest brother chided him for not attending the village school, Ram Krishna flatly refused and said, "I don't want this kind of knowledge, which will only help me to be more intensely stuck to this samsara." Of course, his eldest brother, what was his reaction? It is not known, but definitely he must have thought, "My brother is very innocent, he is a foolish fellow, and he is refusing, and he will understand, and I will try my best to transform his life, so he will live like other people, worldly knowledge." Of course, we know subsequently that never had happened. So, whole life, Ramakrishna said, "I want that knowledge by which I can be infinitely, eternally happy, and I would be immortal, and I will be the wisest person. I want to become Brahman, I want to become Sat, Chit, and Ananda." So, that knowledge, which will not lead one to God, God realization, self-knowledge, is useless knowledge. So this is what Swami Vivekananda says. Spiritual knowledge is the only thing that can destroy our miseries forever. Yes, if you have headache, take headache pill temporarily, not permanently. And even while headache is being removed, how can anybody guarantee there would be no handache, leg ache, back ache, romantic pains, stomach ache, etc.? Nobody can do that. This is what Swamiji is telling. Spiritual knowledge is the only knowledge that can destroy our miseries forever. Any other knowledge, is it useless? No. It satisfies wants only for a time. It is only with knowledge of the spirit that the faculty of want is annihilated forever. In his Karma Yoga, this is what he says. Material knowledge does not accompany man beyond the point of this life. When the doors of death are suddenly opened, knowledge of God alone helps, nothing else, because everything has to be left behind. The body has to be left behind. And then every possession, not even what we call a holy coin, can be taken. You know, in olden days, the lowest denomination of the what is called paisa, old paisa, it has a big hole, a copper paisa. And even that also we cannot take. Even this body cannot be taken. So what can take us? Only the karma phala, only the knowledge, good or bad, that we had obtained, we have strived and obtained throughout this life. But when the doors of death are suddenly opened, only God can help. No other thing can help. So that knowledge which helps us to go nearer to God, that alone is true knowledge, and that is called Viveka. The rest is ignorance. Hence, Shankaracharya asks firmly to discard useless pursuits and set the mind to God. And then Sri Ramakrishna says, Thakur says, "He lives in vain who does not utilize the human birth, which is very rare to obtain, for the attainment of divinity." Sri Ramakrishna, very few people realize our Holy Mother is Mother Saraswati, embodiment of Mother Saraswati. And you study the Gospel of Holy Mother. Everybody studies the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Very few people really study, they read, but not study the Gospel of Holy Mother. Holy Mother casually remarks, "Baba, my child, what is a human body? 3 pounds of ashes. In that 4 words, lie the entire wisdom of the Upanishads, and that is what Shankaracharya, nahi nahi rakshati samprapte sannihite kale." When the time, kala means death. Remember, there is no death for the mind at this stage. Body, it dies. It may live for 1 millisecond, 1 minute, 1 day, or 1 year. There is no guarantee. But the mind, sukshma sharira, and the karana sharira, where all the samskaras are stored, that will last until atyantika pralaya, until a person gets self-knowledge. Only then they will be destroyed. Even after pralaya, when it is said, Brahma sleeps, that time is called pralaya. And when that pralaya kala comes, then this person, merely as if he is sleeping, and as soon as Brahma wakes up, this person wakes up with all the old samskaras, obtains a new body, and then starts. Sri Ramakrishna illustrates it so beautifully. There was a magician, and he was telling, look at my magic. And then suddenly, by accident, his tongue became turned. They call it by a special name, a mudra. And then immediately, he fell down completely unconscious. People thought he was dead. They buried him. And several hundred years have passed. And one day, some people were digging earth. Suddenly, they come across. The body was completely intact. And as soon as they struck, they were spared on the head of this person. Suddenly, his tongue became loosened. As come magic, come magic. And here is king. This is same old thing happens. The jiva, what he was before, attaining to pralaya, just like before going to sleep, you read a book, put a bookmark, and you get up next morning, and you start there. So we start even after pralaya. You are not going to become a wiser person just because pralaya has taken place. That is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, that is everything that doesn't lead us to God is ignorance, and a person who doesn't strive even to obtain that knowledge, his life is lived in vain. And so, that is what he is telling. He lives in vain who doesn't utilize the human birth, which is very rare to obtain, for the attainment of divinity. Sri Ramakrishna is echoing our Shankaracharya's words in Viveka Chudamani, that only after many a life of obtaining merit, punya, does a man get dullabham trayamevaitat devanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshayaha. Rare are these three things: obtainment of a human birth, the desire for spiritual progress, and the company of holy people. It is obtained only when a person had done tremendous amount of austerity and obtained great accumulation of punya in his past births. And that is Ramakrishna is echoing. He lives in vain who doesn't utilize the human birth, which is very rare to obtain, for the attainment of divinity. There are many people who believe in God, but consider it not necessary to follow the religious path right now. And they say, Vairidhi Hari, there is a time for dharma, there is a time for artha, and there is a time for kama. So, when we are students, let us learn. And when we get married, let us earn money as much as possible by hook or crook or whatever means. So, it is absolutely fine. Let us enjoy our life. We will retire, and at the time of retirement, of course, we will have plenty of time, and our mind will be absolutely free. Time is free, energy is free, and my life is free, and we will devote our life. Stupid people, first thing they ignore, death doesn't know what is retirement life. It can strike us at any moment. Second, even if a person is, suppose, lives 50 years, retires, and he had not accumulated the samskara, a deep-seated habit of thinking deeply, studying the scriptures, and pondering over it, and trying to understand Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. This new habit suddenly does not fall from the sky, and then, just like that magician, and as soon as they retire, they find it very hard to spend the time. Time becomes one of the greatest burdens on this head, and to escape from that time, they invent endless ways of escaping. Escapism from the tyranny of the time and energy. So, the death will not wait for old age. Moreover, what happens to pursue any knowledge requires health, strength, concentration, interest and energy. But what happens in old age? All the bodies become weak and the sense organs become weak. The samskaras, old samskaras become very strong. That is one thing which will become stronger by the day. But if we have not started strengthening our spiritual samskaras from the very birth, then we are going to drown. Remember the story of Shankaracharya, even at the age of 4 or 5 years, he wanted to take sannyasa. He understood this. Who can understand better than him? So he wanted to take sannyasa. He didn't want to get married. And then his mother, of course, only son, and she did not want to give. So one day he went to bathe in the Purna river, and a Maya crocodile had caught hold of him and pulling him. He said, "Mother, I am drowning. There is every danger that I may not survive. Grant me your permission to take sannyasa mentally, and then at least I will get a higher life." And the poor mother, unable to understand this deception, I'm only calling in fun, that deception of the son, he said, "All right, my son, I give my permission." And then magically the crocodile had gone, and then the Shankaracharya came and he mentally uttered that what is called sannyasa mantras. And then he came out. He said, "Mother, you have given me permission, and then this is what I wanted. But whenever you remember me, I will come to you." Like Hanuman promised his mother, "Whenever you remember Anjaneya, and immediately I will be present." And he promised, and we have seen in several times when his mother remembered, even on deathbed, immediately he came, and that fortunate lady got liberation because of the greatness of this great soul. So death will not wait. Moreover, old age we become weak, etc. So Shankaracharya is addressing Modamate. Modamate means what? Anything that is done which will not take us towards God, which will not give us true knowledge, and whatever we do, that is called vain knowledge. And a person who is attached to that vain knowledge is a foolish person. Of course, foolish person is one who thinks foolishly and utters foolish words. And then these materialists, what do they say? That life is very uncertain. Once this body is burnt, means dead, it is not going to come back, which is absolutely true. Yes, this body is not going to come back. But it doesn't mean body will not come back. A new body will come back. That's all. So this is a very important thing we have to understand. They are right. But means they don't believe. Once basmi bhutasya asya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha. Where is the question of this body, once it is burnt, is going to come back again? That is very true. But they don't believe that there is life. The soul will not die. This is only a garment. When this garment goes away, he will obtain another garment. All those things he doesn't understand at all. So a foolish fellow is one who is not aware of death, who doesn't do anything to get out of death. Another meaning of death, if you remember, Mrityorma Amrutangamaya. In this three mantras, we are talking about Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amrutangamaya. Mrityo here means suffering. And if a person has got intolerable suffering and he doesn't see any way out, he says, "Oh death, please come and take me away. Death is far more preferable than this unbearable suffering." So a modamati, a foolish one, is one who goes on suffering but doesn't seek a solution, even though there is a solution. That is the meaning that of modamati, foolish one, idiot. And the Lord says bhaja. Bhaja means worship. What is the worship? That it is bhaja govindam. Govinda is not only what Vaishnavas call Sri Krishna. No, Govinda means the Antaryami, and from whom we have come, Ishvara, who is in the form of Ishvara, is guiding every one of us. He is the controller, he is the ruler. His grace alone can release us from the trammels of this avidya jnana, that means samsara. So he who wants to lead a spiritual life requires tremendous amount of control over his mind, and that is possible only by the grace of God. So that is one meaning. Now, what is this Govinda? Shankaracharya's own guru is called Govinda. So for those who follow the Jnana Marga, they do not usually they usually neglect Saguna Brahma. They only very often refer to this what is called impersonal aspect of Brahman. But their guru means guru is everything. That's why there are several stotras, marvelous stotras. Guru or angri padme manaschet nalagnam tatah kim. Oh foolish fellow, you have got a beautiful body, you have got very strong body, and you have got a most wonderful wife or husband, marvelous children. You are the master of this entire kingdom. Everything is there. But if your mind has not developed that unceasing, intense faith in the lotus feet of your guru, Guroho angri padme manat chet na lagnam. If your mind is not automatically, naturally, like iron filing, getting attracted when a powerful magnet comes near, or it goes to a power nearness to a powerful magnet, then your whole life is tataki, means you live in vain. You live in vain. Vain is your life. That is the meaning of Mudamati. So Govinda here means, Shankaracharya is telling, he is his guru. But he, who was his guru? Govindacharya. You ask him, sir, who are you? And he will say, aham brahmasmi. You ask Govindacharya, Govindacharya, you imagine, goes to his guru, and then usually the guru asks the disciple, like Shankaracharya asked Totakacharya or Hastamalakacharya. And here, supposing the disciple asks the guru, sir, who are you? And then, who is that? Gaudapadacharya. Govindacharya's guru was Gaudapadacharya. We are studying this Mandukya Upanishad. So, Gaudapadacharya, he says, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Same knowledge he passed to his disciple Govindacharya. And Govindacharya, what else can he do? Because that is the essence of all Upanishads. He passed the same thing to Shankaracharya. And if you ask Shankara, who are you? Aham brahmasmi. Shivoham, shivoham. Manobuddhi ahankara chittani naham. In the end, he says, shivoham, shivoham. You ask any disciple of the Shankaracharya, you ask Sri Ramakrishna, he says, the language is only devotional language. I am a child of the Divine Mother. I know nothing. What does he mean by I know nothing? I know nothing excepting God. I know nothing excepting my Divine Mother. And I know nothing means there is no world for me to know. There is no waking state. There is no dream state. There is no dreamless state. I only know one thing, and that is my mother. And my mother knows everything. I don't know anything. I do not even exist. Only my mother exists. That means, in Jnana Marga's words, what he calls Aham Brahmasmi, he is telling, I am the child of my mother, and I am one with my mother, and she knows everything. And that is the meaning, that is the true knowledge. And that is called Guru. What is the Guru? Who is the Guru? He who knows Aham Brahmasmi is the Guru. So, worship such a guru. What does it mean, worshipping such a guru? Bhaja means what? Take some fruits, some flowers, some other thing. Go on saying, you do achamana. After that, you go on saying, Govindaya namaha, Krishnaya namaha, Keshavaya namaha, etc., etc., etc. 108 times, 1008 times, etc., etc. You know, Lalita Sahasranama Archana. Kalika Sahasranama Archana, Vishnu Sahasranama Archana. With each name of Vishnu Sahasranama, a flower is offered, or water is offered, kumkuma or sindura is offered, and that is considered as a great thing in this world. Is that bhaja? Yes, that is one type of bhaja. But what is the real bhaja? Bhaja sevayam. Bhaja sadhanayam. Bhaja means what? Obtaining that knowledge, which knowledge gradually leads you nearer and nearer to God and releases you, destroys all the bonds of the ignorance, avidya, maya. This transition from avidya to vidya, whatever helps, that is called bhaja. It's a most wonderful word, this word bhaja. You know, Swami Vivekananda had composed this Om Reem Ritam. It is said Swami Vivekananda had a vision of this Ramakrishna in the form of mantra, mantra darshana. It is called Dvadasakshari mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Ramakrishnaya. When you recite Om Reem Ritam, that is what comes. Naktan Divam Moham Kasham Bhaktir Bhagascha. In the second verse, Bhakti Bhagascha Bhajanam Bhava Bhedakari. Bhava means samsara. Bhedakari. That means it is capable of destroying. What is capable of destroying? Bhakti, devotion to God, Bhakti Yoga. Bhagaha. Bhagaha means the knowledge about God, Jnana Marga. And what is bhaja here? Karma Yoga. Or Yoga, Yoga, Raja Yoga also. But mainly Karma Yoga. Combine or practice separately because they can never be separated. Bhakti, Bhagascha, Bhajanam, Bhava Bhedakari. They all can destroy. Gachyanti alam. Gamanaya tattvam. Tattvam gamanaya. To reach that goal. Goal of what? Tattva. What is the tattva? Aham brahmasmi is the tattva. That is the truth. To reach that truth. And any one of these are more than sufficient. That is the meaning of bhaja. And bhaja has got many meanings. And one of the meanings is bhaja sevayam. Here is, I narrated one story of a Muslim who got stuck in a village because he came across an old helpless woman and he went on serving that woman and he never completed his pilgrimage to Mecca, but his companion reached Mecca and he could not go nearer to the image of God, but he was astonished to see whom he never expected to see, his companion. Who was left behind in the village, he saw all the days that he was there. He was next to the image of God, where the priests were performing the worship. And that person returned. And then after a few days, this villager also returned. And he went to see his companion. And then his, I am so much astonished. And I never saw you on the boat. I don't know how you reached Mecca. But how did you manage? So many days I tried to be nearer to image of God, but I could never succeed. But I saw you always next to the image. This man said, I never went to Mecca. I was only serving this old lady and Allah was pleased, so much pleased, because serving the old, the helpless, the poor, Daridra Narayano Bhava, Murkha Narayano Bhava, Rogi Narayano Bhava, and we are all Murkha Narayanas. That is what this Bhaja Govindam Sotram is telling. We are all Parama Murkhas because we claim, we emphasize our name is registered in at Belur Mat. That means we have initiated, taken initiation from the Ramakrishna order. And every day, practically, I do Japam of Ramakrishna. I do all these things. But ask one question. Is your attachment to your body, to your money, to your possessions, to your family, to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your name and fame, even 1,000th part, has it become any less? If you can answer yes, it has become, you are progressing in spiritual life. And then even if you say, I don't believe you because you are so tightly clinging, I don't know what kind of super glue you are using. Nobody can pry open and you and your possessions. And even if you give, most reluctantly you give. And even when you give, you are expecting a billion things as a result of that giving. You never gladly say, God has given me, God is giving, God, I am giving to God, it is in service of God. So this word bhaja means only one meaning, that which slowly, albeit definitely, takes us to God. That is the meaning of bhaja. That which makes me go towards amritatva, makes me really free from the samsara and avidya, that alone is called, deserves to be called bhaja, not anybody else. Let us remember that pandit taking excuse of him, he is Shankaracharya addressing who? All of us. We are all very much pandits, especially when we are giving advice to other people, we are all greatest pandits. But we are all fools. Why? Because we have not found the way how to outgrow this birth and death samsara sagara. So there is only one way is there. In this Kali Yuga, for attaining mukti, there is only one way. What is this? Harinama smarana. Harer nama eva kevalam. Kalo nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva, gatiranyatha. And then Sri Ramakrishna, humpty number of times repeated. There is no difference between the name of God and God. In fact, that is the truth about every object. The name of any object and the object are not separate at all. But we have to worship God so that His grace will come. Why should we worship? Because when we worship, then we become fit to receive, to retain, and to reap the benefits of the grace of God. But how many for the sake of what is called money, for the sake of name and fame, for the sake of how many veshas, how many dresses we find? Udara nimittam bahukrita vesha. In this very Mohamudgara, kamjatilo mundi lunchita keshaha, kashaya ambara bahukrita veshaha, pashyanna pichana pashyati mudaha, udara nimittam bahukrita vesha. For the sake of filling this stomach, that means for the sake of satisfying this bodily cravings, man, even sannyasins, they do so many things. I will end because there are so many things to be talked about, and I will only tell you briefly, but I will end this one, the Ramayana story. Now, Ravanasura wanted to capture Sita. What did he do? He took up the vesha, kashaya ambara vesha of a muni, of a sannyasin. And this Sita Devi, she was having so much of Shraddha. So, out of her way, she went to receive him. And then he did. What did Arjuna do? And he went to marry Subhadra in the person. So many stories we hear. Of course, we don't need to worry about all those things. What is important for us to understand is that this any knowledge is only for the enjoyment of the body, sense organs, and that is not the way to get out of the samsara chakra. It is only worship of the God sincerely. And definitely, God is so gracious, is waiting for all of us, because we are all His children. We may not know it, He knows it. So let us worship Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudumati. Next class, we will discuss some of these things. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.